I'm Claire Hunter, and I'm interviewing Jim Atkinson at the second annual block party on Saturday, May 20th, 2006. Hey, Jim, can you tell us where and when you were born?
I was born at Jefferson Hospital, 1929, July the 7th. And my family lived on Maiden Lane, I think, at that time, and then moved in 1930 over to Arlington Road. And I've lived there through high school, college, Army. And the company I was with transferred me quite a bit. But when I retired, I came back into the same house I grew up in.
Really? On Arlington?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did you live on Maiden Lane?
I'd have to go back and look. I was less than one. So.
Oh, well. Well, that'll do it. Do you have brothers and sisters that are still?
I have a brother and a sister. Both are dead.
Mm-hmm.
My brother just died in April. He was 82. My sister died about, I think it was 97. And she had an operation and called her a staph infection or something in the hospital. So she would be the expert because she's knew a lot more about the area than my brother and I, because we were gone so much.
Were your parents born here, or had they moved here?
No. My father was born in Pocahontas, Virginia.
Where's that?
Caswell County. That's where the famous Pocahontas coal mines are. And his father ran a hotel up there. And they moved down here when he was still in junior high, I guess you'd call it, in my time. And he later became the managing editor to the Roanoke Times.
Oh.
And he had that job for 30-some years.
Wow.
And he's a graduate of Roanoke College. My mother was born in Tribal, and she worked for the city for a while, but I don't think worked after they were married. Well, she worked, but not in a paying job.
Now, when you left, how old were you when you left? You said you were transferred with your job.
Well, I finished high school in 47, tech in 50, and I was in the Army 3 years, so about 55, and I came back and I was here a couple years, and then transferred to Richmond, and later on from there I went to Winston-Salem, and back to the Richmond area. I was in all four of the localities in the Richmond area.
Who were you working for?
Gray Bar Electric, and they were at 6th and Salem when I first started, and Jefferson High is 6th and Campbell. So I would just walk two blocks over to Gray Bar and get a ride home with the guy, and I was employed by them. I had to get a child labor permit because I was only 15. And so anyhow, 45 years later, I retired from that same company.
What brought you back?
Well, my mother was in bad shape, and she didn't want to leave the house, and my sister was taking care of her, and Mom was getting a little hard to get along with, and so I just took her early retirement and came back to help out.
Mm-hmm.
But she died the day that I was tired, so I wasn't much help.
But you're back here now.
Yeah.
What were the changes that you'd seen? Were there big changes when you came back?
Quite a bit. We used to play all over this area.
Here, but where the church is, this area?
Well, I'm in the cradle role of the church here. My picture's up on the wall down there somewhere, unless they've destroyed it. And I was telling somebody, I'm with the class of 47 at Jefferson, handled the reunions and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And so I borrowed that from them to take it down, and I think we had something like 7 to 10 people that were in that picture that were still in Roanoke, still went all the way through Jefferson. And, of course, I went to Walsena, Nell Walters, who was my first grade teacher, and Ms. Smith was the principal. And you wouldn't recognize the school now for what it was then.
How different was it? What was it like then?
Well, it was much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And we would line up outside, and they would ding the bell, and we would march silently into the classrooms. And they also didn't have a cafeteria, didn't have a gymnasium. If you live within a mile of the city, you had to go home and eat. And if you live further than that, you could bring a bag lunch, and they would let you sit with one teacher in a desk and eat. Then the sixth grade moved to Virginia Heights.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was crowded, they took our sixth grade and just put us at Woodrow in one house. I mean, one room.
Wow.
And so we didn't change when all the bells would ring and they'd start changing class. We stayed in the same room the whole time. Ms. Layton was the our teacher that went with us from Wasena. And then I went to Woodrow, officially, you know, junior high, and played on the basketball team over there. And one of the players a year ahead of me was Jimmy Slaughter, who made All-American at South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And Louis McClellan was on the team, Charlie Williams. Charlie's had a stroke recently. And then from there down to Jefferson, and I was on their junior varsity basketball, but then when I started work, I couldn't do that, so I never went that one half a year as far as the team was concerned. And Hunk Hurt was the basketball coach. Mr. McNish was the coach over here at Woodrow. And about 2 years ago, I went up to talk to him with Bill Schrader, who's also from this area. And he went to Jefferson, well, he went to Roanoke High School in 23, was his class. His mind was just as sharp as it could be, and he called off the names of all the players and so forth.
Wonderful. What kinds of changes have you seen when you kept, when you come back outside?
We had a lot of vacant lots. That was where we used to play ball. This was vacant over here. The one across the street where the apartments are was vacant. A lot of some on Arlington, some on Greenwood. The city had already bought Shriners Hill. That was going to be the high school, and that, this is in the 30s, and they finally built it, what, in 63, something like that. Had the streetcars ran right up and down here.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. They turned around, didn't turn around, they just reversed right in front of Patrick Henry up there, and that was a big sandbox that they were.
And they,
sand in the brakes.
Where did they run down to downtown? Or
yeah, they went down, across Memorial Bridge, over to, I guess it was Patterson, and on down that way. And then the big interchange was right there at the corner of Jefferson and Campbell.
Oh.
And in front of Grandin Road is so wide, is that's where the one coming from up here passed the one coming from town. And it was a double track. So, and during Halloween, we'd wax the tracks out in front of here, and they couldn't get traction on the thing. So, pull the trolley. And let's see, and I was in Troop 2 here, which was Barney Haley, who's mm-hmm. a scoutmaster.
Mm-hmm.
His son's still around town, retired dentist. He may be able to give you a lot more information on that.
Have you seen big changes in Grandin Road? Did you used to go to the library when it was down there?
Yes, a little teeny one down there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was used then. The Community Inn was there, but it was another name. Mm-hmm. Of course, Grand Theater was there. The barbershop was there. Bryce's Drugstore sat there where the alley goes down.
Right.
The Lutheran Church was sitting right across the alley on Grandin, and then Kroger's finally came. They moved the houses back into the back of Dr. Kirk's house and put Kroger. That was the first big supermarket. But at one time, we had about five grocery stores in the in that area.
Really?
And the one across, you know, where the fire department is. Well, that building there was a grocery store. The one on the corner of, let's see, it was Northumberland on the other side, but it was, wasn't Maiden Lane, what was the name of the other one? Anyhow, that was one sitting on the corner.
Westover, maybe?
Yeah, it's Westover. And then the, where the restaurant and all is, that was a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Then one down on the corner was a grocery store. And the Kroger was the first one that you would say is a supermarket design. And I think Micromac was, I've forgotten when they opened over on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Comes down Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
There. The cemetery, of course, was one of our playgrounds. It was.
I'm sure still.
Yeah, it has a fence around a lot of it now, but then it was hedges, so you could go in there and play. And of course, it was always in good shape. And it was nowhere near as filled up as it is now.
What was your fondest memory outside of the trolley tracks on Halloween?
Well, I would say probably all the sports we played out in this area.
Mm-hmm.
We had a sandlot team over here in Woodrow. We had a baseball team, softball during the summer, recreation department, and have touch football games on the vacant lots all over the place. Mm-hmm. And we'd go to Shriner's Hill some, but it was pretty wooded then. And we'd cut down trees to put backboards on in the backyard and that kind of stuff. And camped out over there some, but not much. And because the scouts, we would go to the various camps that they had. Troop 2 was, I guess Troop 2 is still here, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Dr. Robinson's son was in my class. John, I saw him at our last reunion. He lives up in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Somewhere up there. Mm-hmm. He was our state Latin scholar.
You have a wonderful memory.
But and yeah, when I asked him, I said, "Did you ever use your Latin?" He said, "No, I didn't." But he was, what was it, Holiday Magazine? Wasn't that a famous one?
Mm-hmm.
He was editor of that.
Oh.
And then he was with the Reader's Digest bunch. Mm-hmm. So John did real well.
What about Arlington? Have you found that's changed a lot?
Well, it's changed quite a bit. When I left, it was mostly, a lot of people my age. Mm-hmm. And of course, as the kids left, the ones that were left were the old folks. My mother was one of them, and my dad too. And anyhow, then they started subdividing the houses, you know, to rent them out to people and so forth. And like I say, when, I don't know when the trend started, but probably around early 80s, then the young people started buying the houses, remodeling them, and because of the schools primarily. And so it was, Patrick Henry, of course, had come in later. When did it start? 63, mm-hmm. 64, something like that.
Around then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lakewood Colony, the lake park. We used to ice skate on that when it would freeze over in the
winter.
Now,
where is that?
As you go down Brandon at City Recreation.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember we'd buy, of course, I had older brothers and sisters, so you got the hand-me-downs on the ice skates because it didn't freeze every year. And but if they did buy you one, it was about two sizes too large, so it would last a few years. So you wore socks leading up to it. And let's see, I carried papers starting at Brandon Road and Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I picked them up, and I went up Windsor and all the way down Arlington over on Center Hill. Center Hill was only that little hump, you know, there.
Right.
And I had the Dr. Johnson lived on the road that's now filled up, and the old Persinger.
Yes.
Place. So I'd have to go through the field there to get to the those two houses. And one thing I remember is, see, I'd be on Brandon for a while, and you'd always, not always, but you'd see hearses coming through. Apparently, that's when they transported the bodies between the different places. And they were, see, it was 11.
Right.
And they would, if they would see somebody, stop and ask directions. But that was, I remember that, the hearses all the time.
Wow.
I guess they wanted to travel at night for reasons. But anyhow, so that was, and I did that for about 3 years. And the hardest part of delivering papers is collecting.
Some things probably don't change.
The wife would be at home. She said, "Well, he's not here now. He'll be home after 5. And you go back at 5, and they weren't there, and so forth. And that was really the hardest part. And I think it was a quarter for the 6 days plus the Sunday paper.
Now, given that your dad was so involved with, mm-hmm. the paper, what were the biggest events you remembered growing up? Were there really big historical events?
Well, it was World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we had a lot of the boys killed from this area. I delivered papers to about 4 of the houses that had sons who were killed. And the big news was the war, 41 on. I was in the service during the Korean War, but never left. After the States. And I remember the going to the stadium when it was first
Victory
dedicated.
Stadium.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the VPI-VMI game was a real big deal then. They would play on Thanksgiving Day, and then all the stores and would be open to start their Christmas stuff, and people would come from all over the place. Southwest Virginia, Richmond, Norfolk, and so forth. And of course, that was the big game, and the people from the newspaper in Norfolk and Richmond and Washington all covered it. And so there was gas rationing and meat rationing and sugar rationing and all that stuff during the war, but it was never a big hardship. I mean, you could always find something. Of course, you couldn't get tires and you couldn't get gas except the amount that was on the card. The thing that was unusual, we would go to Jefferson, and we would come over to the corner down here, and people would stop and pick us up. You know, this was back in the days when you thumbed everywhere. I've been across the country 3 or 4 times thumbing when I was in the service, and you wouldn't do it now, but yeah, they'd pull up and 4 or 5 pile in the car, off we'd go, and we'd still have 10 left, and next car would pick up some more. Take them on down, because just about everybody worked downtown then, and so it was no problem getting a ride to school. When I was at Woodrow, I belonged to that, I don't know what you call it, health club, you know, the fitness room.
Right.
Well, and Woodrow has really changed. We didn't have a gym, and we didn't have a cafeteria over there either.
So, when you say it's changed, was it made primarily, again, the size?
It's the size primarily. Well, and you go over and there's 50 computers in the place, and we didn't know how to spell computer then. So. The park was, we had days when we'd go by and walk and pick up the glass and metal and everything off the field, because it was filled in to make it level, you know, and of course, and it worked its way up to the top. And that sort of thing. And the Raleigh Court football team was very successful. And Virginia Heights, like, I never got there, but Norwich was, you know, down the hill. That was a pretty rough area then. So you stayed out of Norwich. and when you got up to the, about where the English Garden Apartments are,
right,
that was the end of the road, and on the field there at Woodrow, the guys, he owned Lakeview Motel, and everything. Ingram, is that his name?
Maybe, I don't
something.
Know.
But anyhow, that was orchards and horses and stuff like that. And the area over here, after the first 2 blocks of Avenel and the other one, that was farmland. I think Mr. Adams owned that later on. The asphalt paving man. And let's see, the Grandin Court area stopped right there too, at what is now, there was no Carlton then, as I recall. One thing that has always amused me about it is our phone number is 342-6879.
Right.
And I think it started out as 789, and all they did is add on to the thing. And because Dad had the was with the newspaper, mm-hmm. we had a private line, which was unusual then. And so a lot of the neighbors didn't have phones. They'd come and use the phone. And I don't recall too much exciting going on. If we played one of the other parks, we'd get there the best way we could. We didn't, our parents didn't take us in the car.
Right, right.
We'd go on bicycles or thumb our way over, something like that.
And are any of the people, you talked about some of the older people on Arlington, are any of them still there? Are you still in touch with them?
No. I used to kid mother that we always, no, people didn't move much then.
Right.
So the Aldridge house or the Smith house or whatever, that's where you referred to it. And I was at a funeral one time, and a lady living down the street in the Aldridge house, and I was telling somebody, I said, she lives in the Aldridge house. And she said, I've been here for, what, 20 years.
And it's still the Aldrich House.
But that's the way you referred to all of them then. And I don't think there's a single old-timer still alive. Because, see, I'm 76, so, and they would have had to be 20 years older.
Right.
And we're getting a few older ones in now. I might be the oldest one on the block, I don't know. But
where are you on Arlington?
1855, it's almost dead center. Do you know any people over there?
Not names, but we moved here 2 years ago and we looked at houses there. My brother lives on Greenwood, we know the area.
Well, you know where Nat Patterson lives on Greenwood?
Yes.
Okay, well, Nat was with me through all this stuff.
Oh, was he?
And he used to live in the house at the corner of Grandin and Brandon. That's one that's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's where he grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a... it was a huge house, and we could play basketball in his attic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. His grandmother didn't like it, but he did. But anyway, if you went directly out my backyard, mm-hmm. you'd run into Nat's house on the other side of the street.
Wonderful.
Kind of thing. And that was a corner lot there mm-hmm. at Shirley and Greenwood. Mm-hmm. Two corner lots, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What's the yellow house? Pretty nice looking one still.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, where was the other one? They didn't have as many. Greenwood was developed before Arlington.
Right.
And, of course, the development was because of the streetcar. That's why they put the streetcar in, the developers would come because not many people owned cars then.
But the streetcar basically went up Memorial and then over on Grandin?
Yeah, came across Memorial Bridge.
And
that was Virginia Avenue back mm-hmm. then.
Oh.
And I think it was in Fort... original address was 555. It's now 1855. And when Roanoke annexed, I think around 47 or 48, the Williamson Road area,
mm-hmm.
well, they had to rename some of the streets because they had duplicates.
Right.
And I think that's South Roanoke had a Virginia Avenue, see, so that's when it became Memorial.
Oh.
And of course, the bridge was to Memorial to World War I.
Right.
And the one I like is out in Grandin Court. Livingston Road was originally Stanley.
Oh,
Stanley and Livingston. And the guy, Hildebrand, was the city engineer, mm-hmm. and he hired a bunch of the boys from Tech to go over and start renumbering because the 555 didn't mean anything. Now I'm 18 blocks from the middle of town, see, so they did all of that, I think, before 1950 or right around that time. And,
that's great.
And they left your last two usually. But instead of the 500 block, it was the 1800.
That's so good. Wonderful.
And let's see, now, like I say, I left her in 55, and I was back here for a couple years. I lived over on Fairway then, and then was back to, I went to Harrisonburg from here. And then I went to Richmond, and then to Atlanta, and then back to Richmond.
But you kept coming back.
Oh, yeah. When Mother and Dad were still alive. It wasn't that bad a thing. And when I was covering the Shenandoah Valley as a salesman, I went all the way up to Front Royal.
Mm-hmm.
And US 11 was that famous three-lane thing.
That's right.
And didn't have the interstates in. I think they may have had part of it before I left up there in the 60s. But so that was a thrill. And you talk about something that's changed now. Go down 11 now and look at all the old places that I used to know are now boarded up and closed on the thing. Around here, one thing that I would like to ask somebody tell me, everybody refers to Woodrow Wilson as Woodrow.
Mm-hmm.
They never say Wilson.
Wilson.
And I wonder why. So I've asked people that have their high schools that are Woodrow Wilson. They say, no, we call it Woodrow Wilson. I said, do you ever call it just Wilson? They said, no, I don't think so. It's always Woodrow. But I've never, anybody that ever went there never called it Wilson.
Yeah, they always just called it Woodrow.
Woodrow.
That's great.
And so I don't know, we should have called Jefferson, I guess, Thomas to do it. I was telling a girl, I have the memorabilia room down at Jefferson. I helped set that up.
Wonderful.
Maintain.
Well, this information is so helpful.
Yeah, we have plenty of good photographs down there that they may want.
Okay.
Because Jefferson started in 25. It was the first graduating class.
Mm-hmm.
And we go all the way back through 1896 on Roanoke High School, I think.
That's great.
The first class that graduated from Roanoke High School was all girls.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was 20-some of them. And the only, I've tried to ask and find out why, and the only thing that I was able to come up with is boys went to work then. And if you were from a rich family, they sent you off to a private school. So not a single boy in the graduating class.
Interesting. That's great.
And,
that's very helpful.
Washington Bridge was built in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. The other one was a wooden structure. Memorial Bridge, part of that was still there. It used to be a filling station sitting down there, where right before you went across the bridge, Dyerly or Driscoll?
Right.
Driscoll.
Think,
yeah. So, and that big stone house that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I once knew who built that thing, but they didn't stay there long. That should be preserved. That's quite a house.
That's wonderful.
And, old man Tudor that owned the Magic City Laundry there.
Mm-hmm.
His sister lived next door to me. And he couldn't read or write.
Really?
And he owned the ice plant and the laundry and everything. You know, he could count money, but
that was it.
He came up from Florida, Franklin County, I think, and never went past about second or third grade. So. And his sister was educated. And then one of his brothers lived there too in the house.
Well, this has been so interesting. You know what I'm going to ask, because I know, I think the group that's doing this would probably like to come back to you with more mm-hmm. questions. Would that be okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would be great, because I think that you're just a wealth of information. It would be just fabulous.
Well, I was around the area, and at that time you stayed in the area.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You didn't move around, except
no.
It sounds like you moved around.
Well, that
a
was
lot.
Later on, though.
Yeah.
And our gray bar is now at 12th Street, mm-hmm. the branch here.
That's terrific. Would you mind if I took a picture, just
no.
a quick photo? Because they've asked us to just take photos of everyone and then we can...
I volunteer down at the History Museum quite a bit.
Oh, do you? Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Just on the desk. And of course, I know George Kegley real well. Everybody does.
That's terrific.
And George worked for my dad for 30 years, I guess.
That's terrific.
Helen Tuning, who's
uh-huh.
Judge Fitzpatrick's wife.
Mm-hmm.
She worked for the newspaper back in the early 40s. She's probably a wealth of information.
That's terrific. That's terrific. It's interesting how many people... I have a neighbor. Actually, we live over on Maiden Lane, and I have a neighbor whose husband works for the paper now. I think he's in the production end
yeah.
of it, though. But this has been just so helpful, really. And we're really glad that you came in.
But the little girl I was talking to said she'd never been to the memorabilia room at Jefferson. And I told her, well, give me a call sometime and I'll take you down there and open it up for you.
I think that's great. You know, I think there's probably all sorts of things like that around, and I think this is a sort of concerted effort to try and...
Well, that's where we got the good pictures, because every high school had a photographer assigned, and he had the good camera.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the one from the class of 46, Sims, had just died.
Yes.
He was the photographer of the class of 46, and he furnished me with a lot of pictures, and I just wondered what his wife's going to do with all those pictures.
Oh.
She was in my class, 47.
Wow.
Virginia.
That would be great
I'll
to
call
know.
And ask her.
Yeah, that would be great to know, because I know...
Yeah.
They're really working on building up the Virginia.
Yeah.
They're going to put all of this in the, you know, Virginia room
yeah.
down at the library, and I think they're really...
The Virginia room needs about three times the size.
Right.
Because
right.
it's a real asset to the city.
Yeah, it is.
I love going down there and just looking around it.
Well, I've only been here 2 years, and my husband is really into history, and until I did, I didn't know about it. I just didn't know about it.
Is your husband involved with Civil War history?
A little bit, yeah,
He ought to come to our Civil War roundtable. We have...
Is that through the library?
No.
Oh.
No, this is a separate thing entirely. We've probably got 150 members, and we have speakers every month. And it's Friendship Manor Recreation Building.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And we'll average, 60 to 100 people attending.
Oh, how wonderful.
And Dr. Robinson Budd, he talks to us at least every other year. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to one of his classes up in Stanton next month.
Wonderful.
He has a week-long thing that I've been going to for some time.
Oh, that's terrific.
And but if he likes history, incidentally, it was a morning show today. They were in some little town in Pennsylvania, and the guy says, what's this town famous for? And he said, we had a general in the Civil War. And so what was his name? He says, Mad Anthony Wayne or something. That was Revolutionary War. He didn't know it, and she didn't either, so it didn't make any difference.
Yeah. But, interesting. How did you get so interested in the Civil War?
Well, I guess I've been interested in it forever. Mm-hmm. My dad was quite good at
history.
Civil
War, mm-hmm.
And so I guess I got it from him, but he wasn't too much in Civil War. As a matter of fact, when I got into Sons of the Union Veterans...
Right.
I found out my ancestors fought for the North, which is not too good, you know. But and by the way, that guy just died, Eck, who was heading it up. I don't know what they're going to do now. I didn't attend that one too regularly, but I sent them money because I think they had 15 members on the thing. But, Bob Eck was headed the thing up, and he moved in. I think he must have taught at one of the schools. His wife's a nurse out here at Ramilton Clinic.
Wow.
But so I don't know what's going to happen to that one. But the Sons of the Union Veterans, of which I'm not a member of, they are more into griping than they are history. There's always something going on that they're trying to correct. Now, the guy that heads it up has done a great job of keeping a lot of the rednecks quiet, but...
Interesting.
Yeah, and the reenactors, I don't deal with them. I mean, they have a lot of fun, but they and they're history conscious as far as food and stuff like that.
Right.
But as far as knowing what the unit did or anything, they're not too
good.
Right.
Yeah, it's just limited to that activity. So, well, it's been wonderful talking to you, Jim. So thanks so much.
Well, I've enjoyed talking to you, and if there's anything that you want to pin down.
Right. Cool. Well, no, I will make sure that we follow up.
I can, I go down, like I say, and volunteer at the History Museum, and I usually go back and get two or three directories out and try to verify where people live and so forth and that kind of stuff. And it's very interesting. I think I go back to 1890-something. As a matter of fact, I found my grandfather. He was living at what later on became Clover Creamery. It was a boarding house and the dairy and so forth. And there's a Knights of Pythias.
Pythian, I think.
It's right there at the corner of Franklin and Jefferson. And they own the building, and they're on the third floor. And I went down there to follow up on some of the stuff, and they're not very active, but they've got a bunch of stuff that somebody ought to get their hands on and put in the Virginia room, probably.
Right.
Because all the dignitaries in Roanoke at one time were presidents or chief counsel or something for that group.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Jim.
You say you're over on Maiden Lane now?
Yep. We really appreciate you coming by.
I used to know a bunch of people over there, but I'm a new crowd over there now.
It is, but you know, it's interesting. About 6 months after we moved in, a woman knocked on the door, and they were up visiting from Charleston, and she had grown up in the house.
Oh, okay.
And so we had this long weekend with her, and actually I'm going to contact her about this, because she had grown up there.
One of the ladies that moved in across the street said that that was the Himes house. she said that some girl knocked on her door and said, I used to come here and visit my grandmother. And she said she showed her around and told her. And while she was digging in the backyard, found the, what did you call it, friendship bracelet, remember? Found one from one of the boys that lived there. Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
Got a little pop-up microphone, and to get that, you do that.
Okay.
We want to make sure that it's not set on voice actuated. It's on medium, and it's on medium. Okay. So you'll just put your tape in, and then we'll also double up with this one here.
Right in here.